baseball's being selfish. We want the best players in the world, and if those players happen to be African-American, from Asia, gay, we want to make it possible for them to succeed. And we want the players that are playing around that person to know that MLB's philosophy is that we are all in this together.
Recipe for hashish fudge. This is the food of paradise. It might provide an entertaining refreshment for a ladies' bridge club or a chapter meeting of the DAR.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Top U.S. court lets Republican states block queer student rights, baseball's Billy Beane lives on in diversity training, and baking up a storm with Alice B. Toklas. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Marcos Najera.
And I'm Sarah Montague.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 17th, 2024. Federal protections for LGBTQ students are getting no help from the U.S. Supreme Court. In a narrow 5-4 decision, the High Court denied an emergency request from the Department of Justice to enforce its interpretation of Title IX, the ban on discrimination based on sex in federally funded education. The dissent from the court's three liberals and conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch argued that sexual orientation could be covered, but did not address the more contentious gender identity provisions. The Department of Education announced in April that it would interpret sex in federal law to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Several Republican-led U.S. states reject that interpretation. Their requests to temporarily enjoin enforcement of the new policy have been granted by lower courts. On August 16th, the justices rejected the Biden administration's bid to enforce the sexual orientation aspects of its queer-inclusive policy during the ongoing legal challenges. The majority found that the administration had not provided this court a sufficient basis to disturb the actions of lower courts. Dissenting Justice Sonia Sotomayor asserted that there was no reason to block enforcement of the entire policy. She points out that only the gender identity provisions have been questioned in the lower courts. Sotomayor wrote, "By blocking the government from enforcing scores of regulations that respondents never challenged and that bear no apparent relationship to respondents' alleged injuries, the lower courts went beyond their authority to remedy the discrete harms alleged here."
Pope Francis met with LGBTQ activists from Uganda and Ghana this week. It was the first time the head of the Roman Catholic Church and queer African activists had been face to face. The pontiff joined them in condemning anti-queer legislation in both nations, specifically Uganda's notorious Anti-Homosexuality Act. Claire Bayarugaba is with the queer advocacy group Chapter 4 Uganda. She tweeted a video on the X platform of her shaking hands and kissing the Pope on both cheeks. Bayarugaba said that Francis repeated his belief that discrimination is a sin and violence against LGBTIQ communities is unacceptable. Bayarugaba was introduced to the Pope by Juan Carlos Cruz, a gay Chilean member of the Pontiff's advisory panel on protecting children from pedophile priests. Cruz is himself a survivor of clergy sex abuse. The August 13th meeting with Pope Francis also included Rightify Ghana director Ebenezer Piga. Right now, Ghana's president Nana Akufo-Addo is waiting for the Supreme Court's constitutional green light before he signs the horrific Promotion of Proper Human Sexual Rights and Ghanaian Family Values Bill. Under its harsh provisions, even being an LGBTQ plus ally would be a crime. Activist Piga said he was grateful for the Pope's progressive stance, especially his opposition to violence and discrimination. Pope Francis encouraged us to keep fighting for your rights, and that's exactly what we will do.
Team LGBTQ won a total of 42 medals at the Olympic Games in Paris. If all the out LGBTQ competitors were a team, it would have finished in 7th place for the most medals, according to the digital outlet Outsports. That, by the way, is a higher ranking than any country that still makes being queer a crime. Team LGBTQ surpassed the 10th place of medal winners set at the Tokyo Games in 2020. They include 15 gold medals, 13 silver, and 14 bronze. Outsports counted a record number of at least 193 openly queer competitors in Paris. By most accounts, the USA women's basketball team may have been the most openly queer team at this year's Olympics. More than half the players and coaches are publicly out. The team grabbed the gold with a pulse-pounding 67-66 victory over their Olympic hosts, France. Brittany Griner led the team with her debilitating incarceration in Russia behind her. She could be seen tearing up during the playing of the U.S. national anthem. Two female Olympic boxers had their eligibility to compete as women questioned by transphobic critics. Algeria's gold medal-winning cisgender female boxer, Imani Khalif, is punching back. Khalif is suing anti-trans writer J.K. Rowling and right-wing billionaire Elon Musk. Her criminal complaint with the Paris prosecutor's office charges that their social media posts accusing her of pretending to be a woman exacerbated acts of aggravated cyber harassment.
Record-setting British diver Tom Daley is retiring after he and Noah Williams won the silver in the men's 10-meter synchronized diving event in Paris. Daley held his customary rainbow towel on the award platform for the last time. This means that Robbie and Phoenix Black Daley will be seeing more of one father. Their power couple co-dad is the Academy Award-winning screenwriter of Milk, Dustin Lance Black. Daley was 14 years old in 2008 when he competed for the first time in Beijing. He won 3 bronze medals at the Games in London and Rio de Janeiro, and gold in Tokyo. Daley bid an emotional farewell in a brief impromptu encounter with reporters.
It's really hard to talk about, but it's, you know, I have to hang it up at some time, so, yeah, I'm very proud. Right now, like, obviously, it's just a lot, but I'm really happy with how everything's gone. I just think it's always hard when you say goodbye to your sport, so I just, yeah, lots of things to process, but, you know, I think it's the right time. Like, this year felt like such a bonus, and I got to compete in front of my family, my kids, so, and I got to be flag bearer, so, yeah, like, bucket list ticked off on every occasion. Wasn't expecting all of this, it's quite overwhelming, but... Oh, I mean, it's so special. I just, yeah, it's hard to talk because, yeah. I mean, it's my last time, so I'm sorry.
Retiring British Olympics diver Tom Daley.
In her third try, Kim Koko Iwamoto will be the first out transgender candidate to win election to state office in Hawaii. The civil rights attorney, school board member, and queer activist defeated fellow Democrat Scott Sikey in the party's August 11th primary election. She has no Republican opposition, so her victory in November is a lock. She'll represent Honolulu and Kaka'ako. Iwamoto upset the Democratic establishment with her victory over Sikey, the entrenched incumbent who's been Speaker of the House since 2017. It was her second political coup. In 2006, she became the highest-ranking out trans person elected to a government position in the United States as the island of Oahu's representative on the Hawaii State Board of Education. She says she ran this time in part because she felt a lack of transparency in state politics. Sikey had opposed a raise in the state minimum wage, and Iwamoto believed the party was ignoring everyday Hawaiians.
Finally, congratulations are due to Chilean flamingos Curtis and Arthur on the birth of their new chick this week. The male couple at Southwest England's Peyton Zoo in Devon apparently adopted an abandoned egg. According to the zoo's birds curator, Pete Smallbones, Chilean flamingo eggs usually take about a month to hatch. Both parents incubate and care for it on mud pile nests. Smallbones says this is the Peyton Zoo's first successful hatching of the species since 2018. Chilean flamingos live in shallow lakes across South America. The species is in decline due to habitat degradation from industrial mining operations, tourist disturbances, and egg harvesting.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 17th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeChesor, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Sarah Montague. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
The recipe was innocently included without my realizing that the hashish was the accented part of the recipe.
The cultural landmark is baked into the recipe later in the program. Major League Baseball acted quickly when one of its stars hurled a homophobic slur at a heckling fan. The August 11th game had started on a much different note when the MLB Players Alumni Association named Boston Red Sox outfielder Jaron Duran the team's 2024 Heart and Hustles Award winner. It's supposed to recognize active players who demonstrate a passion for the game of baseball and best embody the values, spirit, and traditions of the game. Things had gone downhill by the bottom of the sixth. A talkative man in the stands yelled at Duran that he needed a tennis racket to hit a ball. Duran yelled back, "Shut up, you f***ing f***gut." Duran described the incident during a press conference.
It was just a heckler heckling me, you know, the entire game, and I just let the moment get the best of me and just said something that I shouldn't be saying. There was no intent behind the word that was used. It was just the heat of the moment and just happened to be said, you know, it's on me for that word coming out, but there was no intent behind that word being used. I actually apologized to the umpire and the catcher for my actions because they were right there. They heard me say it, but I'm assuming they cut the mic because of my inappropriate words, so it wasn't picked up, but I know that I was apologizing to them for the word I had said.
However, a live outfield mic did catch the whole exchange, and Duran was suspended for 2 games. His prorated salary is being donated to the LGBTQ organization PFLAG. The All-Star player responded to the disciplinary action.
That's not the most important thing right now. It's just trying to be better and learn from my mistake of what I said. Is the most important thing right now. I've talked to a few people that have been in situations before, and I've gotten a lot of helpful information that I'm gonna take to heart and take my best leap forward and go with what's best to benefit from my mistakes. I've had some fans reach out to me and tell me that they're disappointed in me, and I just wanted to let them know that I'm sorry for my actions and that I'm gonna work on being better for them.
Jaron Duran's contrition and the fact that he has the support to do better are due in large part to the legacy of the late Billy Beane. Beane's standout career was recounted by Ann Northrup and Andy Hum of Gay USA TV on the occasion of his death earlier this month.
He was a Major League Baseball player for the Detroit Tigers, the LA Dodgers, the San Diego Padres, for about 6 years or so. He came out after he retired, and in fact he did not go to his lover's funeral. He played a game instead because he was so scared of being outed.
But he came out in 1999, 3 years after he left his playing days, and he was at his death the only out current or former player who was gay. I mean, before that, you had Glenn Burke, who died in 1995 and came out in 1982.
Shamefully treated.
So he joins the office of the commissioner, Bud Selig, in 2014. He became baseball's first ever ambassador for inclusion, focusing on player education, LGBTQ inclusion, and social justice. Promoted to vice president in 2017, adding anti-bullying efforts to his plate, and then became the senior vice president of DEI.
Teams and hold talks in locker rooms, yeah. As we would do in schools.
He is survived by his husband, Greg Baker.
Shortly after he was appointed Major League Baseball's Gay Ambassador for Inclusion in 2014, Billy Bean fielded a few questions from This Way Out's Chris Ann Eastwood and Wenzel Jones.
Baseball's a theatrical game filled with lots of traditions. Is this the first ambassador position that there has been in Major League Baseball?
Major League Baseball has two other ambassadors, and one is Roberto Clemente's wife, Vera, who is the ambassador of goodwill.
Okay.
And she's been connected to the game for over 35 years, and that... the Roberto Clemente Award is a very, very prestigious
accomplishment. I think the top award. I think above all, I think that's the one of the most amazing
awards. And that's given
award.
To the player who does the most community service within their where they play. And it's really amazing because the amount of money generated in situations like that and how it goes to help, you know, underprivileged youth or whatever the charity designated by that player, it's an amazing thing. And then Tony La Russa is also an ambassador. He just got elected to the Hall of Fame, and Tony La Russa has been in baseball for over 45 years.
He has.
And so I was completely humbled by the title.
You're in very esteemed company in the world of baseball for all our listeners who are fans. I mean, this is big, big, big deal.
Could I ask a question here, though? Because I was just wondering, when you're the very first ambassador of it, do you just make it up as you go along, or did it come with a rule
book? That's a great question, because part of this process is them. We're defining the position as we go, and the process that got me into this accepting the job, we dialogued what goals they had, and I tried to explain to them all the things I've learned from the LGBT, especially the sports community, about inclusive dialogue, language, resources made available to all stakeholders, not just the players. I mean, baseball is a massive business. There's 30 teams. There's 7 minor league teams under every major league organization. You have general managers, managers, assistant managers, secretaries, you know, cleaning crews, snack bar people, construction companies. You know, it's endless. And so anyone connected to the MLB family is going to be part of this process. So my job is to try to make it palatable right away that we can have some resources made available as soon as possible. And part of that is the workplace code of conduct that now includes sexual orientation for all anti-discrimination.
But this is not just LGBT stuff.
No.
I mean, from what I have read, you have a very huge scope of responsibility here as in this. You're at race, gender,
religion,
disability.
And part of the inclusive message is we want the best product for baseball. Baseball's being selfish. We want the best players in the world, and if those players happen to be African American, from Asia, gay, or from Germany, whatever, we want to make it possible for them to succeed and feel welcome, and we want the players that are playing around that person to know that MLB's philosophy is that we are all in this together. It's not about finding out who is gay or it's really about making the environment, making everyone understand that inclusion and acceptance is the name of the game. So if we start to see an increase in applications for jobs within baseball from LGBT community people, people that are out, people that have worked in the corporate world and who have said, you know what, I love sports and I want to go work in sports. And now, from what I hear, I'm welcome here. You know, it's just something, to me, once we, from the outside in, then we're going to see multiple players start feeling comfortable, and they're going to make that huge decision on their own. But they're going to know if they need a resource, if they need a friend, someone's confidence that it's there for them.
Well, and I think we cannot overstress the importance of having an example, because I read that you grew up in the military, and I did too, and there are no examples at all. You do grow up feeling like you're the only one in the world for the longest time.
Well, my stepfather is a Marine Corps veteran, and I'm the oldest of five boys, so it was... That's what I think was where I had trouble understanding my own journey until I was in my late 20s. I had never met anybody. I was never around it. So it was is that thing, that inner dialogue that so many of us have in our community. There's a shared bond. I love when we get to sit down and share our stories, because we have so much in common, where it's really just trying to find where you fit in. And the thing about being involved in sports, and that, you know, I was so fortunate to be a professional athlete for a long time. I never thought for a minute I wanted to be out of that world.
Right.
But the job, it's not really an accomplishment. It's an opportunity. And that's the way I'm looking at it. And I have a huge responsibility in front of me. And I'm going to do my very best to build that bridge between the two worlds that should have been built a long time ago. There's so many great athletes who have not been able to completely be centered in the moment. And that's where all of us know, great performers, great singers, great actors, they got to be centered.
Major League Baseball's gay ambassador for inclusion, Billy Beane, died on August 6th of acute myeloid leukemia at the age of 60. He was interviewed in 2014 by Chris Ann Eastwood and Wenzel Jones.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out.
Literary mavens Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas helped shape the avant-garde arts environment of the 20th century. Toklas was also known for her mastery of French cooking. 1954's The Alice B. Toklas Cookbook is one of the couple's best-known and most notorious books. In this rare Pacifica Radio selection from a Verve record, Ms. Toklas herself reads the infamous recipe and tells the story behind its publication.
The recipe for hashish fudge was given me by Brian Geisen, which anyone could wish up on a rainy day. This is the food of paradise. It might provide an entertaining refreshment for a ladies' bridge club or a chapter meeting of the DAR. Take 1 teaspoon black peppercorn, 1 whole nutmeg, 4 average sticks of cinnamon, 1 teapot coriander. These should all be pulverized in a mortar. About 1 handful each of stoned dates, dried figs, shelled almonds, and peanuts. Chop these and mix them together. A bunch of cannabis sativa can be pulverized. This along with the spices should be dusted over the mixed fruit and nuts, kneaded together. About 1 cup of sugar dissolved in a big pat of butter, rolled into a cake, and cut into pieces or made into balls about the size of a walnut. It should be eaten with care. 2 pieces are quite sufficient. Obtaining the cannabis may present certain difficulties, but the variety known as cannabis sativa grows as a common weed, often unrecognized, everywhere in Europe, Asia, and parts of Africa, besides being cultivated as a crop for the manufacture of rope. In the Americas, while often discouraged, its cousin called Cannabis indica has been observed even in city window boxes. It should be picked and dried as soon as it has gone to seed and while the plant is still green. The recipe was innocently included without my realizing that the hashish was the accented part of the recipe. And that I was shocked to find that America wouldn't accept it because it was too dangerous. Well, this was an offense to the American eye and the American thought, because they were afraid, they were up against the law. And so my publisher wired to Washington and asked the administration if it were possible to use such a recipe. When it appeared, there'd been an outcry. The magazines took it up. And he got as an answer from Washington, "You may do anything you please except eat it. That is forbidden by law. You may grow it, you may manufacture it, but you may not sell it, and you may not eat it." Brian Geisen himself wired me and said, "What are we doing about this?" And I said, "I'm doing nothing. What can you do?" I was shocked to find that it was hashish. I thought it was just a joke of his. And he said, "Well, something should be done." And so he wired to the editor, who paid no attention to him. He said it was too late, later in conversation. So that was that. It never went into the American edition. The English are braver. We're not courageous about that sort of thing.
That was the voice of Alice B. Toklas. The Verve record was broadcast on Pacifica Radio in 1963.
We're brown.
Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Marcos Najera and Sarah Montague and produced by Brian DeShazer, with technical assistance by Danielle Wiesius. Our archival correspondents were Chris Ann Eastwood and Wenzel Jones. Thanks also to Gay USA TV's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum, and to the Pacifica Radio Archives. You heard music by the Rolling Stones, Nancy B, Heather Woodhead, and from the Field of Dreams soundtrack. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Dyer V of Winston, Oregon, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WRFZ Rochester, New York, 3CR Fitzroy, Victoria, KOOP Austin, Texas, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.